So you can have that extra connection.
Tomorrow, you're going to see the first trailer that's going to be out there. So still working on it. It's a new territory that I'm not comfortable in, you know. But yet again, I feel God is saying, this is where I want you to be. And so I'm learning as I'm going along. There's a lot of the technology side of it that I'm gathering in, you know, the knowledge as I'm learning. I'm learning from Isaiah. I'm learning from different people that have already been there. So anyway, be in prayer for me. So this stretches me a little bit outside of my comfort zone. But, you know, most of the time, this is where God is, right, where we are, outside of that realm where we are comfortable. So,
all right, anyway. Kiddos, come on down. Kiddos.
All right. This is the word that God has laid on my heart for the past. Sometime I would say it's been a while since God has laid that on my heart and I've been preparing. But this one was dropped probably Thursday morning. You know, when it comes to preaching and preparing messages, a lot of times the wish of every pastor is like, we know that on Monday what we're going to start studying and preaching and everything else. But a lot of time it doesn't happen that way. A lot of times it's like Thursday morning and even Friday morning or sometimes even Saturday evening where you feel a new direction from God and you're like, okay, Lord, don't do this every single week. But this one was one of those, okay? And Saturday was when everything was being pulled together. And this is where it comes from, you know. It comes from a question that I've been asking myself and a question that God has been asking me as well. The question is, which I'm going to ask you this morning, is which is more powerful? Saying what you believe or saying what you want? And think about that for a moment, because it took me a while to actually get that, because it's easier to say, man, you know, we live in a world right now where we want to say what we want to say. We don't want anybody to stop us from saying what we want to say. As a matter of fact, saying what we want to say makes us feel in control, right? If you want to say what you want to say, kind of gives you a little bit, a little power there. You know, I want to say what I want to say. In fact, there's social media platforms that are out there that encourages us to do that. Even here in Kodiak, we have a Facebook page called Say What You Want, right? Say What You Want. Say What You Want. So it's something that is relevant to culture, relevant to where we are now today in this country and in the world. What if it was absolutely okay to say whatever you want to say, whenever you want to say it, to whomever you want to say it to? Can you imagine the kind of damage you could cause to not only yourself, but to others that are hearing you saying whatever you want to say without a single filter, without having this, Kyler calls this the holy hush. You know, sometimes I just want to say this. Because it puts me in control. It shows that I have got the upper hand in that situation. If you're any kind of relationship with people, whether it's a husband and spouse, husband and wife relationship, or relationship in the community, or anywhere else, when it involves people, saying what you want to say is not always a good thing. It'll get you in trouble. But on the other hand, if you say what you believe, it goes much deeper. It goes much deeper. It touches convictions. It touches, it goes beyond your feelings. It goes beyond your emotion. It's deeper. Because it ties in with conviction, the truth. It ties in with what you believe. It ties in with faith. Sometimes it's that faith that keeps us, what we want to say, anchored. Because we are like, I want to say this, but that holy hush comes in and says, I'm not going to say it. Because it goes against what I believe, what I stand for. So you have this holy hush. And you let that God be the God of the Holy Spirit. And when you want to say something, it doesn't mean that you have to be silent. But what you do say matters. It means a lot. It has to be grounded in with your faith. It has to be grounded in the Word of God. Saying what you believe is very important to your faith. I would say as far as if you don't say what you believe, it could even stifle your faith. Stop your faith from growing if you don't say what you believe. In 2 Corinthians 4:13 it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith. Faith is a spirit. It's a spirit of faith and according to what is written. It's not just the faith in something else that somebody else is believing, somebody's opinion, society's belief and opinion. No, it's based on what is written in the Word of God. And this is Paul speaking. And he's writing the letter there to challenge people to speak because they believe. They believe in the written Word of God. He says, I believe, therefore I spoke. And Paul is saying that during a time of persecution against himself. He's saying, I'm believing and I'm speaking what I believe, even though it puts me in a place of being persecuted. So saying what you believe is powerful. Because you're standing on the written Word of God. And then he goes on, he says, we believe and therefore speak. Now he's addressing the whole congregation, the whole community of people that he's talking to. He says, this is that spirit of faith that is among us. We believe, therefore we speak. That is the spirit of faith. Faith by itself, if it is silent, it's not faith. Faith must always have a voice. It is believing and speaking. Faith is in a rhythm. There is a rhythm to faith. It is believing and speaking. You're believing what God is saying, and at the same time, you're believing it, you're putting it in your heart, you're studying it, you're reading about what God is saying, but you're not silent about it. You read it, you believe it, you put it in your heart, and then you speak it. You speak it. It's that perfect rhythm of believing and speaking that is faith. Faith is believing and speaking. Say what you believe. And believe what you say. That is that rhythm of faith. Believing and speaking. That rhythm of faith, of believing and speaking, does affect what you see. It does affect what you see in the natural. It does affect how you experience life. Your faith can determine whether or not you're going to have the spirit of joy when you walk into church today. Or it can be like, oh my my gosh, I can't believe I'm here. And guess what? He's going to be long-winded today. It's going to be a long, hopefully we're going to be out of here before. I mean, you know, it's that spirit of faith when you believe in something, you come here, you're expecting that God is going to have a word for you today. And when you come with that spirit of faith, you're believing in it. And then before you know it, during praise and worship, you're worshiping God and you're letting Him know verbally, out loud, how you're feeling on the inside. That is the spirit of faith. You might not be able to sing with a beautiful voice or anything like that, like me. But by faith, I'm declaring my worship to God. I sound amazing. To Him I do. To myself, I do. By faith, I do. I cannot be silent about how amazing God is and say I have faith. I have to display that faith verbally, out loud. It's believing and speaking. So believing and speaking does affect my experience of church. Believing and speaking does affect my experience as a husband, as a pastor, as a father. Because things don't always turn out right. But my spirit of faith says you believe that things will, and you call those things what are not as though they already are. That is faith. It's that rhythm of believing and speaking. Now you might think this is crazy talk. I mean, who just believes in something and then just say it and then it happens? Well, the Bible is full of stories that would support that statement. The Bible is full of word that would, where you see people's life change completely because they believed in God and they let their faith be known to everyone else. Jeremiah 1:12 gives us a perfect picture of him seeing something happening in the natural, but yet again spoke something totally different from what he was experiencing in the natural. Isn't that crazy? Have you ever done that in your own life when you were experiencing maybe a pain or receiving a bad report about anything, but you find yourself praising God? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense at all. Here you are, you should be in pain. You should be suffering. But yet again, you found a place where you are saying, I'm going to declare my faith, what I believe. I'm going to declare a different report from what I've just received. I'm going to declare the written word of God. That's where when you receive that bad report, you can say, you know what? By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. You might be feeling terrible, but you're declaring something totally different. It changes your experience. It changes your outlook on life. And you start seeing things like, oh, you know what? It's not that bad after all. It could have been worse. Thank God that He is on my side. That is the spirit of faith speaking something totally different than what you might be experiencing even in the natural. Here in Jeremiah, the year is 580 BC. What is going on in 580 BC? In Israel, it was a terrible time. The children of Israel, Babylon came in and took all the children of Israel and took them away to Babylon. They burned the temple and people were dying on the street. There was so much chaos going on because it was an invasion. Kind of like similar to what we experienced not too long ago when Hamas came in into Israel and, you know, a lot of people were being kidnapped. This was a similar situation where you could see destruction. And Jeremiah the prophet is there during this time. is watching all this chaos happening right in front of his eyes. He's in this valley. When I was in Israel, we went to this valley. It's called the Kidron Valley. And he was on this side, and he's watching the temple on the other side of the of that valley, and he's watching the temple burn. And people are dying, and he's seeing a line of people being taken away into captivity. They were being kind of like kidnapped and taken away to Babylon. And he's watching that, and God asks him this question: what do you see? What do you see? God was asking him this question: what do you see? I can probably tell you what Jeremiah saw. He saw the destruction, he saw the pain, he saw the thousands of people being kidnapped and taken away. And I know what Jeremiah might want to say. Lord, why did you abandon me? My country, my nation. You know why I know Jeremiah would be wanting to say that? Because I probably would want to say the same thing too. I'm watching destruction happening right in front of my eyes, and God is asking me, what do you see? I would want to say, what's going on, Lord? Why did you allow this to happen? Have you ever been in a place where you ask God, why did you allow this to happen? I have. Got to a place where, like, it doesn't make sense, Lord. So you get to a place where you're even mad and angry at that situation. And you might even get to a place where you're blaming God for what is happening. We don't know the storyline behind this, but I can certainly believe that Jeremiah felt it. And God is asking him this question: what do you see? In difficult times that you and I, we face, God a lot of time would ask us that same question. What do you see? Now, God doesn't ask us a question like this because he doesn't know. He already knows. God doesn't ask us this type of question because he's insensitive to what is going on in us or around us. God is asking us that kind of question because he wants us to snap out of this unbelief, to snap out of fear and doubt and anxiety. He asks us that question so that we can say, huh, why is God asking me this? He already knows what I'm experiencing. God wants us to realize that he's still in charge. And he wants us to realize that we are here in this difficult situation. But what are we going to say? How are we going to respond to this situation? And he wants us to respond by saying what we believe. And not what we want to say, but what is really inside of us. With Jeremiah, God was challenging him to see beyond the natural. God wanted Jeremiah to see beyond the natural, beyond the destruction. And Jeremiah responded and said, I see a branch of an almond tree. What an odd way to answer, right? I see the branch of an almond tree. So he's seeing in the background, he's seeing the destruction. But on the forefront, he's seeing something totally different. The background was destruction, complete destruction, temple burning, people dying. But on the forefront of his life, or right in front of him, he saw the branch of an almond tree. An almond tree is a sign of life. It's a sign that spring is coming. It's a sign that God's promise is true. And it is something that you can hold on to. God God wanted Jeremiah to see his promise instead of the destruction. God wanted Jeremiah to wake up and start believing God for the impossible. That's similar to our situation, similar to what you and I, we experience in life. We might be experiencing it at different level, different stages in life. It might not be like this. It might not be terrorism. But we are under attack by an enemy that is coming daily to attack us in our minds and in our life, in every aspect of our life, there is an enemy. And God is saying, I want you to see life beyond what you're experiencing in the natural. I see an almond tree. Say what you believe. Speak what you believe. Then he goes on, he says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. This is exactly what God wanted him, Jeremiah the prophet, to actually see. He says, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. God was waiting for Jeremiah to snap out of that fear and say what he believed. Speak what he believed. So let's pause here for just a moment. Could it be that whatever you're facing today, whatever difficult time that you might be in right now, God is waiting for you to snap out. God is waiting for you to snap out of it and start saying what you're believing God for. Start calling out God on the promises that is already made for you, that is already given to you. You've heard that promise a while back, but maybe because of circumstances in your life, you've taken that promise and you've put it on the back shelf. It's time to bring it back out again. It's time to start saying, Lord, you brought me here for a reason. You gave me this assignment for a reason. I'm here on mission, and I'm not going to quit until you tell me it's time. So that's something that you can hold on to. Whatever might go on in your life right now, might be happening in your life right now, you can hold on to that promise that God has given to you. And you can see that almond tree. So do you see that almond tree in your life today? Do you see God's promise in your life today? Do you see beyond the destruction, beyond the pain, beyond the suffering? Do you see the promise of God? God is saying, you know, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you to say the word so I may perform it. Just like this promise, I am ready to perform my word. In other words, God is waiting and watching. He's watching and he's waiting. He's waiting for us to do and say something. Not just anything. He wants us to respond by faith, by telling him, by reminding him verbally of his promise. See, God already knows what he said. He already knows your situation, but he wants you to, what do you see? He wants you to respond to that. I know what you're seeing right now, but what else are you seeing? Do you see my promise? Do you see my forgiveness? Do you see my healing? Do you see my restoration? Do you see? And God wants us to snap out of the natural and to step into the supernatural. That's faith. That's faith. That's what he wants. He wants us to step out sometimes into this unknown. Sometime into these places that don't make any sense whatsoever. Because right there, Jeremiah was weeping. In fact, he's known as the weeping prophet. He cried a lot. Every time I would cry a lot, man. I mean, if I'm looking around and the whole community is being taken away, the temple, the church is being burned, I'll weep. So he's watching all of this and he's weeping, but God is saying, I want you to stop crying. I want you to start seeing my promise. I want you to start believing what I'm about to do in your life. I'm ready to perform my word. See, God is waiting on that word. He's waiting for us to open up our mouth and say the word. Say the word. And when you say the word, he acts. He moves. He does the impossible for you. But he's waiting on us to just say it. Believe it. Say what you believe and believe what you say. Now let's look at a different story. Same time frame. We're talking about 580 BC. Same situation, but a different prophet. His name is Ezekiel. And we've talked about the bone, rattle that song. That's perfect for that, for this message. Prophet Ezekiel is not there like Jeremiah was. During the time this was written, he is in Babylon. He's already gone. He's one of those that were taken away, physically taken away. See, God, even though you might be in a different season where you feel like, oh man, I'm just here, physically here, but I feel like I need to be somewhere else. That was Ezekiel. God gave him a vision of what was happening in Israel. So he's there in Babylon and he's seeing this vision. It's called the Valley of Bones. In the stories of the Bible, you know that, right? In Ezekiel 37, verse 1, he said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. That's the vision. He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he's seeing this vision of a valley, him being there, and there's just bones everywhere. Just bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. I mean, these bones were there for a long, 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 long time. They're dry. There's no life. No life at all. It's just dry bones. In this vision, God wanted Elijah to catch a glimpse of destruction, despair. With all these dry bones, because probably that's exactly how Ezekiel was feeling. He was probably feeling very spiritually dry. No hope. All my family, I'm separated from my country, separated from my culture. I'm now in Babylon, a new country, new culture. They're making me do things that I don't believe in. They worship idols, but yet again, I'm there and I'm dry spiritually. I can't worship anymore like I used to back home. And it's spiritually dry. So there's so much significance in those dry bones because that's exactly how the prophet felt. But God asked him a question. Isn't that amazing when God will ask a question? Like he did with Jeremiah, what do you see? Well, I'm seeing death. We're all going to die. That's what I see. Everybody's already dead. Is nothing but dry bones. And God asked him the question, son of man, can these bones live? I mean, I know you're seeing in a vision dry bones, nothing but destruction, pain, and death. And can these bones live? And I answered, oh Lord, you know. That's something that I would say. Do you see life in them? Lord, you know more than I do. All I can see is like death. There is nothing coming out of this place. It's nothing but death. Again, God is asking a question, not because he doesn't know. God is asking the question because he knows exactly where Ezekiel was. He knew exactly what Ezekiel was experiencing. And Ezekiel responded the right way. Lord, you know. Meaning you know everything about me. You know when I wake up. You know when I go to sleep. You know when I stand up. And you know when I fall. You know when I'm doing things the right way. And you know when I mess up. You know everything about me. Lord, you know. But God brought him to this valley, not to show him that, hey, you know what, you're dumb and stupid. God brought him to this valley to show him that I am aware of your situation, but I still want you to snap out of it. I'm aware of the pain that you're going through, but I want you to say what you believe. What you believe is, what you're believing is already inside of you, but I want you to say it. That is that spirit of faith that we talk about. It's believing and speaking. I know what you're believing is inside of you, but now I want you to speak it. I want you to speak it. You're seeing the dry bones, but I want you to see beyond those dry bones. I want you to say what you believe. You see, there are many times that God will bring us to a valley. Have you ever been in a valley in your life? You feel like nothing is happening right. Everything that I'm doing is falling apart. I mean, this is not working right. The dog is going nuts. I mean, there's so many things that you're expecting. Nothing is working right. Nothing is working right. It's called a valley. Valleys are seasons in our life that we experience pain. We experience sorrow and rejection. No one enjoys those valleys, do you? I don't. Anytime I go in there, I'm like, Lord, when is this thing going to be over? I want it to be done. So I can move on and have a little bit of hope, a little bit of joy. No one enjoys the valley. Everybody wants to be on the mountaintop. But nothing grows on a mountaintop. But when you're down in the valley, that's the place that God has designed for us to grow. See, the valley was never meant, never designed by God to take us out. The valley was designed by God to take us through, not to take us out. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23, right? I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, you're not meant to go and park and camp in this valley. God wants to take you through it. God did not design the valley to actually keep you there and to take you out, but to take you through it. Those valleys are absolutely necessary for us to grow, because nothing grows on those mountaintops. So you need to be in this valley, whatever it might be. It might be a short period of time, but you're there to grow. You're there to actually let go of certain things that God wants you to let go of. You let it go in that valley. You don't bring it back. You leave those dry bones there. But you walk out of that valley full of life because He is with you. It says, through this valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You will experience the presence of God in those valleys. In those valleys of your life, you would experience Him. You would experience His presence. So going back to Ezekiel, in verse 4, he says, then He, God, said to me, prophesy. Prophesy means speak what God is saying. That's what the word prophesy means. Speak what God is saying over these bones. Don't say what you want to say, but say what you believe God is saying over these bones. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear what? My words? No, hear the word of the Lord. That's the spirit of faith. It's not just believing in my theology or so-and-so's theology. It's believing what God has written in His word. That's faith. He's saying, prophesy over this bone and say to these dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. See, in our situation, whatever it might be, those dry bones, they need to hear what God has said. Not what I want to say, not what you want to say, but what God has said. Those dry bones, they must hear that. They're waiting on us to speak that life over the death, over the situation that they might be in. There are people in our lives, there are family members in our life, they don't know this. They're waiting on us to speak that word. They are just dry bones in the valley. And God has assigned you and I to go and reach out to them. And to be that voice of Jeremiah, that voice of Ezekiel, to go to them and to speak life. They are waiting. They are waiting. And God is saying, would you go and prophesy over those dry bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How many of you have got some dry bones family? I do. I've got many of them. They are waiting to hear the word of the Lord. And God is saying, you know, I brought you to this valley. It's time for you to speak and say what you believe. Their lives depend. Their lives depend on you speaking the word. Your situation in whatever is going on in your life, it's waiting on you to say what you believe. And watch those situations change. And when Ezekiel prophesied over these bones, just like God wanted him to, these bones came to life. The dry bones of your life and in my life as well, they can come back to life just by speaking the word of God over it. So what's the moral of these two stories? You know, those two stories, same time frame, same tragedies that are happening in that period of time in Israel. They both challenge us to say what we believe. Not what we want to say, but to say what we believe. I want to challenge you today. Would you say what you believe? Would you speak over your situation and speak life over whatever is happening in your life. Say what you believe. Say what you believe and watch your faith grow. Say what you believe in God here and watch your faith grow. Your faith needs that voice. Your voice. Your faith needs your voice to grow. Say what you believe and watch the mountain in front of your life be moved. Your faith needs exercise. Your faith needs a mountain. Jesus put the two together. In Mark chapter 11. And it challenges us to use our faith to speak to the mountains in our lives. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. What did we say faith is? 2 Corinthians 4:13 is believing and speaking. That is that spirit of faith. He said, have faith in God. Meaning, let that spirit of faith that is in you already, that is believing and speaking, let that faith, have that faith, that same kind of faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, see, you must speak. The mountain doesn't just go away. You must say something to that mountain. That's a challenge for a lot of us. Because we're quiet people. We don't like to talk so much. But the challenge here is for faith to grow, it must have a voice. For faith to grow, it must be challenged. There must be a mountain. So sometimes we got to, it's hard to do it sometimes, but we got to thank God for the mountains that we are facing. Because without that mountain, we cannot grow. It's hard to do it. It's hard to thank God for what being in this valley of dry bones and seeing nothing but destruction. But God wants us to snap out of it and see, by faith, something different. Like an almond tree. Like those dry bones come back to life. God wants us to have a different picture when we see this mountain. He says, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. See, doubt and fear, they are the opposite of faith. So God is challenging you and I to make sure that fear and doubt, they don't come and rob us of that spirit of faith. Because fear and doubt will cause us to be silent. Fear and doubt will make us self-conscious about not being good enough. I can't speak. I can't speak. I don't like to say openly about my faith. That's a challenge. But God wants us to verbalize that faith. To say what we believe. Perfect opportunity to do that coming Easter. Find someone. Wherever they may be. Say what you believe to them. Locally in this community, you don't have to go anywhere else. Just locally, right here. You can say, yeah, this is what I believe. This is what I'm taught. I open up my Bible, I read the Word of God, and the Word of God says, this is what I must say. Speak to that situation in that person's life. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to see what is going on in somebody's life and to be able to speak life, to speak truth, to bring that person to Christ. He says, if that person doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Would you please stand? I know we all face mountains. Maybe there's a big one in front of you today. Maybe there's a few of them. It's not just one mountain, it's a mountain range of issues and problems and situation. Kids, husband, wives, and whatever it might be. I mean, the work situation, anything that is standing between you and the promise that God has given you is a mountain. I want you to visualize that mountain. Just like God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? Just like God asked Ezekiel, what do you see? God wants you to see beyond that mountain. And you can only do that through the eyes of faith that is already in you. You don't need to be up here holding a pulpit and being able to speak your faith. You can do it at home. You can do it with your children. You can do it in the workplace. You can do it in the community. You can do it anywhere. Would you visualize that mountain? And would you speak to that mountain? Would you say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea? The word, the promise is, it says that whatever you say, you will have it. Whatever you say, whatever the size of that mountain, it will be removed. Let's pray. Father, we pray that that spirit of faith that we've just read about, those stories, they're not just stories in the Bible, but they are meaningful to our lives. And we apply every part of it to our lives. We hold on to that truth and we believe it. We bring in that conviction that we stand on, that your word is true, your word is alive, your word is powerful. And we hold on to that truth, Lord. Let that spirit of faith in us rise up. Lord, we look at the mountains in front of us. And we speak to them in the name of Jesus. That these mountains must be removed. Must be removed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. And we'll see you next week for Palm Sunday. Special message. Extra long.